Gerhard, can we talk about the London paintings that you're exhibiting here at the Anthony Doffey Gallery? And the first thing I think that intrigues me is the very literal titles that they have, such as Salt Tower, Brick Tower, St. James's. But the paintings themselves one could describe as being completely non-figurative, and I don't know whether you're happy with the term abstract, but I was wondering if you could start by talking about how the paintings came about and what in fact is their relationship with the titles.
These are just names, and name doesn't mean so much. If I name my child, it has nothing to do. I can see the child as an abstract painting, and then I give him a name, Andrew or what else.
Religious titles are very provocative, really. I mean, if you have a religious title for a painting, it makes people think that they're about religious experience.
The meaning comes from the chapels, mm-hmm. Not from the person, no. They don't know it. When they see the titles, when they read the titles, the people...
But they come from where?
From the chapels, from Westminster
the
Abbey.
Chapels.
Yeah.
Yes,
they don't know
but
it.
I suppose that they'd associate that with a religious experience.
Yeah, maybe that's good, also.
Because the paintings are meant to have some religious dimension, or not?
Yeah, because by it's our dimension we have, so it's not so bad when a painting very seldom has also this meaning.
Mm-hmm.
I have nothing against this meaning.
Are you happy then to accept the terms abstract and figurative as describing the two primary focuses of your work?
Abstract and figurative, very simple terms, and maybe wrong. Abstract has another meaning, abstract. But we use these terms to say non-figurative and figurative or so. I don't mind.
It's just that I get the sense that the paintings really aren't abstract in the sense that they're non-representational. They seem to be about something very specific in terms of their surface and the way the paint's applied and the images that are created.
Uh-huh.
Do you think there's a... Perhaps if you could tell us something about the relationship between the two different types of painting.
Ah, so.
Do you see them as opposites or do you see them as related?
They both are realistic in a way, or shows the abstract shows an artificial reality, and the other also.
You don't see the paintings about nature as being natural, then?
About nature, more natural.
The landscape.
Yeah.
Yet there seems to be something that is very specifically non-natural, if you like, about them. When one looks at them, one is in a sense looking through a filter at nature. I mean, I get a very strange sense of time about them, but they seem to be very removed as well.
Uh-huh.
They seem artificial.
Yeah, that's true.
The paintings seem to me very different from the abstract paintings you've been making over the last few years.
The new abstract paintings are different, quite different. The paintings before had more structure, more composition.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not able anymore to give them composition. How do you say it in English?
Composition.
Yeah.
They're much more fragmented and sort of...
And destroyed, more destroyed.
And your styles have changed over the last decade quite drastically in a way that perhaps no other artist at that time could have changed in the way that you did.
Uh-huh.
Do you feel that something's about to happen again, that you're going to... are these the beginning of something new, do you think? Or are they the end of a particular abstract
phase? I have the feeling that I have to start with new things, but I don't know what, and maybe I will continue. I really don't know. I'm in a state now without any idea.
But you seem to like painting in that state.
I like paintings.
You like to paint without any idea, it seems.
I like to...
you like to paint in a very... When we talked before, it seemed that you didn't want to
bring
preconceived ideas to what you were doing.
Yeah, but then I have the idea to have no ideas. It's a bit different.
Mm.
But now I have really no idea, no vision for a new painting.
But you mean when you say that you have the idea to have no idea, it's a very conscious thing. You have to avoid having ideas.
Yeah.
And at the moment, you're not avoiding it. It's just that you don't really know what is coming.
Do
you find it worrying that you don't have any vision at the moment?
This is terribly odd. Yeah, yeah. Not so nice. Yeah. But I know these interruptions from the past, longer or shorter.
Can I just develop the point about the paintings? It's just interesting about how you've actually made them, because there doesn't appear to be, in a way, a signature, if you like, or the artist's actual activity which leaves a trace behind that reveals the identity of the artist. That doesn't seem to be present in certainly the photographic paintings, but either in the abstract paintings, which I think I find interesting.
Mm.
And I was wondering, you know, whether this was a very conscious thing on your part, not to actually create any identity for yourself in the marks, in the way the paintings have been produced.
Do you think they are anonymous?
They're not anonymous, but they certainly don't reveal the hand, if you like, of the artist.
Mm-hmm. Just I can't judge.
Mm.
I have the feeling that they are erkennbar, wieder erkennbar.
You would be able to recognize them.
Recognize them, yeah.
Mm, as your painting, without a doubt. It's
yes,
true.
Yes.
So it's my handschrift.
Your handwriting.
Your
touch. Mm.
Even when there's no brush stroke in the painting, it's visible.
But I suppose we associate brush stroke with subjectivity, you know, like the expressionist sort of thing. And that you seem to try to avoid that type of subjectivity, that expression of your own self or feelings.
I never liked the expressionists.
Ah, that must have been
neither
very
unusual. The old German nor the modern.
But in Dresden, when you were studying, it must have been the time when the expressionists became very popular. I mean, in the late 50s and.
This is not the school of Dresden. This is different, more realistic, more.
Ah, yes.
Yeah, yeah, not expressive.
Friedrich Dix was working there, wasn't he, in the 20s?
And it's also not typical for Dresden Dix. They are unknown painters.
Mm-hmm.
If you see the paintings, where I can say the school of Dresden, ours has not so much to do with expressionists. And not with sticks.
And what about when you came to Germany in 61? What did you think of the abstract sort of expressionist painting that was Goetz, for example, you studied with?
What was the last name?
Goetz.
Mm-hmm. He called those, we had another name for these painters. Taschis. Informal Taschis. Oh, it was interesting. But it was past. It was gone. Mm-hmm.
And were you conscious then of trying to look for an alternative to, in a very self-conscious way, to that kind of expressionist abstract painting?
Yeah. We tried it.
Well, what about the Capitalist Realist show in the furniture store? That's something that's so notorious. People always talk about that.
Yeah, I'm surprised this term becomes such a sign, capitalist realism. We used it just as a joke for one happening to be popular.
So it wasn't a sort of that you were thinking, oh well, in the East there's socialist realism and we're going to try capitalist realism. It wasn't.
No, it was. Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. It was the intention.
Mm-hmm. But you were being ironic about capitalism, presumably.
Yeah, this is a wrong term, We don't have a capitalistic realism here.
Were you trying to be critical of West German society at that time? Or did,
no,
did
not,
you,
at all.
Not at
no,
all. You didn't feel critical?
No.
You said that there's no structure, or there's little structure in
the
abstract paintings there. Certainly the ones that you were doing up to 10 years ago, you started off with a very small, quite heavily worked painting, and then enlarged a photographic section of that to make the painting.
Yeah, yeah.
Is there any way in which you do structure the paintings that are here?
No, it's absolutely different from that time.
Yeah.
When you mean the blow up?
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. No, there, nothing. No, when I mentioned that there are less structure in these paintings, I thought on the paintings maybe 3 years before, 5 years before, they had a composition, and so they were built different things.
Is it something that you feel strongly about now, the idea of making paintings that are associated with a particular site, a particular building which has associations such as the churches and the towers and so on? I mean, is this something that is a new development in your work, or?
No, I don't think so, no.
Is that link important to you, that there is a reference, at least in the title, to a particular place?
In this case, yes, yeah, here, for the London paintings, yeah. This is the exception to have titles. Few paintings have titles, and they are very practical. I can recognize them.
But are the titles of this series to do with the sort of change in the way that the paintings look and the changes in the way that you're making the paintings? I mean, the paintings look very different now from last year.
Yeah.
And they've also got different kinds of titles.
Yeah.
And is there a relation? Or you weren't conscious of it when you were titling them, maybe?
Ich hatte es ja in Deutsch erklärt.
Ja.
Wie die Titel zusammen zustande kommen. Also ich bin mit etwas beschäftigt, mit Kafka oder London.
Mhm.
Und so ist es normal, dass die Bilder dann diesen Titel bekommen.
Mhm. It has to do with other things, that Gerrit is interested in at a particular time, with Kafka that he's reading, or he's coming to London to do the series, and so it's on his mind, and then the titles come associatively like that.
Ja, die werden gefärbt davon.
They're coloured by the title.
Ja.
But is it to give an extra dimension to the painting as well, so that we don't see them just as formalist abstraction? Because they do suggest an imaginative...
There is a hope or a wish to give them another dimension. I had this similar experience when I paint from a photo and I destroyed the image more and more, and still the title was there. So these tourist paintings, you cannot see the, or hardly know, you can hardly know see the tourists and the drama, this terrible thing, a man eaten by a lion. But you have the title. This was interesting, yeah.
Had fragments of words as well, didn't you, in those early paintings? The whole of the title wasn't there, just part of a...
In the tourist paintings? No.
No,
just without any word. They have just the title. Long ago I had fragments of words, yeah.
Well, there is a passage in your catalogue, a translation of one of your letters, where you refer to nature as being without intelligence, without sympathy, but also as being inhuman. Do you mean inhuman, or do you mean a-human? Because inhuman is a very human term.
With human, we don't have in German this difference, so I think I mean a-human. A-human.
As in amoral.
Yeah.
I read that and found that quite interesting too. Does that mean that you don't see us as really being connected with nature in any way, as physical beings?
We are connected with nature. This is a very polemic sentence.
It is. It means that, it means that the only interpreter of nature is ourselves, as human beings. And in a way, your abstract paintings seem to throw landscape back into the viewer to look at inside him or herself for a response to the landscape, which is has nothing to do with the landscape. Is that so?
How important is it in this show that we have the two types of imagery together, the abstract and the figurative?
Oh, I think it's more understandable, the abstract and the landscapes, the realistic, when you show both. But it's also possible to show only one type.
Would you ever show just the photo landscapes by themselves now?
Not in the moment, no. More the abstract. I'm more interested in the abstract paintings. I never tried it, or long, long ago. I had only landscapes.
So they're really there to sort of throw an extra dimension on the abstract paintings, rather like the titles give an extra dimension.
The titles of the abstract paintings.
And I know
What has to do with this hope I mentioned, that they have more meaning and more importance for us. It's we feel all, or I feel always a lack of importance. I'm just a painter.
And you mean that we have to create that importance somehow?
Yeah, I want to I could do more. And paintings are limited in their effect.
In their effect on the audience, or in the potential in they
our,
have to express
with our,
something?
Yeah, with our problems. We have a lot of problems in the world. And the paintings cannot do very, very much. Yeah.
There was just one or two things about the photographic paintings, and I saw last year that very large installation in Museum Ludwig of the portraits, which I think is a very impressive piece. And I was just wondering about your particular thoughts about, you know, the photographic level of representation, and then your painting, which in a way very consciously almost emulates the photographic process, or it's very close to it. But what is the distinction, do you think? What makes your portraits substantially different from the photographic equivalent?
From the photographic portraits?
Yes.
I have two versions, painted portraits from photographs, and then photographs from the paintings. Sometimes I like more the photographic version. It's more modern, more our time.
But what are you thinking when you're actually making those very, very tight, very accurate paintings that are very close to the photographs?
That's the only method I can use. This is the best. Except color, they are not colored. But the photographs I had at that time were not in color.
But are you trying to make them look as realistic as possible?
As realistic as possible, and sometimes I was able to do them better than the photographs, more clear. The photographs were very small, some of them. They made it a bit better.
But often there's a slight blur to everything, that looks deliberate, as if you, you don't want it to look like a perfect illusion.
They become more realistic with this effect, with this blurred.
When you say you want them to be as realistic as possible, do you mean you want them to look as much like a photograph as possible, or as much like reality as possible?
I don't know picture what is better than a photograph, than a good photograph.
But they are conscious paintings of the surface of the photographic print. I mean, as an alternative, you might, for instance, paint the actual portrait of the person.
This is a facility we didn't learn. We are not able to paint. Very few painters like Lucien Freud can do this, but all the others are not able. They didn't learn it.
Paint.
No school we have teaching this.
But does the same apply to the landscapes then? I mean, you...
Yeah.
You wouldn't consider actually going into the landscape and painting?
It's too hard with all, to go in the landscape with all this stuff and
like hitchhiking.
Yeah.
But actually, those paintings of yours based on photographs.
Yeah.
When I look at them, my response is an emotional response.
Yeah.
Not to the landscape that you painted, uh-huh, but to the way I would look at a landscape back there. Uh-huh. That is how...
Yeah. I think I understood. Yeah. It comes from the photographic apparatus, ne? You go with in the landscape.
It's almost as though you transfer to me, looking at your work, a mood. You make me respond to that landscape in the way you know I will respond to a landscape.
Uh-huh.
Locked inside me.
Yeah. It's good. Very good.
But I find the landscapes very disorientating in a way, because they seem very romantic and beautiful,
mm-hmm,
but they also seem very emotionless in some way. I mean, there's a sort of aimlessness about the landscapes. They're too far away, or they're too close, or something isn't quite right.
This aimlessness.
Ohne Ziel, also irgendwie, als ob man...
Ja, das ist wahr, ja. Tja, what to say.
But do you want us to see the landscapes as romantic things, or do you like us to feel a little bit disorientated like that?
Yeah, both is right. I think we have these two feelings, at least, when we see a landscape. We feel nostalgic, and nostalgic means this double feeling.
Is it the same if you do? I remember in Documenta there was a corner of Cologne Cathedral, wasn't there? A highly photographic painting. Why did you choose Cologne Cathedral?
It was a very old photo. I mean, not so old, from 84. And I was in a special mood to make this photo.
Do you look at a lot of photographs before you choose which ones you're going to paint?
I do a lot of photographs. It's, it's hard to find a motive. You can make a photo and then you have many photos. And it's hard to find one what you can paint.
What would the decision be based on? How would you select the one you wanted to paint?
This I don't really know.
And when Duchamp, for example, would look at his ready-mades,
yeah,
he'd say, well, I just chose them. But he used to say, well, because I'm trying to avoid something that's aesthetically beautiful, I'm trying to avoid certain things.
Uh-huh.
I don't know positively what I'm looking for, but I know what I'm trying to avoid.
I'm trying to avoid many things, all stupid things I try to avoid.
To go back to Bill's mentioning the series of portraits, they're all of famous people. Is that a very personal list, as it were? Are they all your favourites?
No.
In that
no,
series?
Some of them I don't know. I really don't know. And some of my favourite I didn't paint. They're not in this series.
Because there's a painting of Kiefer's Hermannschlacht, which seems to me to be very closely related to that. It seems like he's looked at that series of yours. It's, again, it's monochrome,
yeah,
grey,
yeah,
black and white, and it has a whole series of portraits of his own personal heroes and favourites.
You said this, his personal heroes, and that was not with me. He showed a direction and ideology, and not me. I try to make the opposite of a direction. I want to more to destroy.
Mike mentioned Kiefer. I was just wondering whether you felt that there were any links or any relationship between your work and the work of any other current German painters. I was wondering also whether you had any views retrospectively about Beuys, because you lived in Düsseldorf at the same time,
mm-hmm,
as Beuys, but you know, whether you felt you shared any kind of common ground with those artists.
Mm-hmm. Oh, a comment to Beuys now. I liked him very much. Sometimes I loved him, but also I tried to avoid him, not to be to be too close to him.
In your diary notes, when Beuys died,
yeah,
you said that you thought there was a new task for you now, or for German painters, now that Beuys is dead, that,
yeah,
somehow one had to carry on what he was doing in your own way.
Now we are doing it, no? Yes, we are in this movement to think again. But at the moment I don't have a new experience or a new...
I'd like just to ask your response to Friedrich.
Caspar David,
yes, and to Corot. They're mentioned in your catalogue, and obviously there are correspondences of, yeah, mood or melancholy or something. How close do you feel yourself to?
Yeah, Caspar David Friedrich I love, of course, yeah. And he's very different to me. Yeah. He's a great painter. And so strong. Oh yeah.
We talked a lot when I was talking to you about your paintings. You talked a lot about your interest in music and how you were. Is it an inspiration from music? And do you listen to music and feel inspired to paint? Or, I mean, how does it really relate?
Oh, I like music. I'm interested in music, and not even when I'm painting, then maybe this would disturb me. But I have, yeah, I like music.
But is there any specific way in which you might use it in your work?
No, this would be too dangerous.
Now.